All right, so question for you guys. I got a question for this room. You guys all awake? You're doing good?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, you guys awake at home? You guys are doing good, right? Good. So question for you, and the answer is not yes. I'm looking for a real answer. The beginning of the year, I cast a vision of where we're headed for this year, and it came from Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And what was our theme or vision statement? Does anybody know?
Launch out into the deep.
Launch out into the deep. All right, my kids, they must be PKs. They're paying attention. They know launch out into the deep. That's what it is. And so this morning's message is going to be connected to that. And this morning's message, the title is Launched Out to Launch In. And I'll explain that as we go. But I want you to remember our theme verse, which is Launch Out to the Deep, Luke 5:4. And it's Launched Out to Launch In. So I want you to think about this, our vision, our statement for this year. God gave this to me long before I knew what this year was going to hold, right? Everyone, you've been seeing the memes, right? 2020, you know, the Back to the Future, the DeLorean, the time machine. Don't ever set it for 2020. That's the rule, right? There's all kinds of hashtags and memes about 2020 being a crazy year. And I had no idea, right? And so this word launch out into the deep, this is so God, because there's things that God has launched us to do. For me to be preaching from my own living room, I never would have done that on my own. I had no idea that was part of the vision that God was casting for this year, is to launch into online streaming, to have our videos online for you guys to watch on Facebook and YouTube, for all these things that God is doing. You could say the enemy's doing it, but really, if God gave us that vision, you got to know that God is behind all this. He's in control. And so I want to bring forward, the reason why I brought up our vision statement again, yes, it's kind of my sermon, but I think it's also important, if we don't have our vision continually before us, we lose sight of it. And it doesn't become powerful. It doesn't become what it's meant to be. And even if you look, these are just a couple statements I found on Google. If you launch, if you Google the importance of a vision statement for a company and organization, you'll get all kinds of cool sentences and cool facts. But I want to read you a couple. A vision does us no good if it isn't continually put before us and incorporated into our lives. So this idea of launch out into the deep, this is something that God is saying for this year, we are to incorporate into our lives. It's not just something we learned in January, we heard a few times, and then, oh yeah, I remember what it is. No, it's continually needs to be before us and then figured out, how do I apply this into my life? Two more things I want to you can Google about a vision statement. A vision sees the future and informs and energizes the present. A vision statement, or a vision that God gave us for this year, it informs us, right? It's about the future, but informs us and it energizes us in the present, knowing that we know where we're headed. A vision is, I know where I'm headed, and so it gives me strength, it gets me excited, it gives me information about what I need to do now to get where God is taking us. Last one, a vision helps us keep a group focused and together, especially in stressful times. Could that be not more true than now than ever, right? We are in the midst of crazy times. And so I think it's important that we have this vision in front of us, that it helps keep us together, keeps us focused, that we know where we're headed, that God has had a vision since the beginning of this year. He knew that we would not, on this June 14th, that we would all be in our own homes, that I would be in my own home on a Sunday morning sharing a word with you. God knew all these things. And so sometimes that helps me bring peace, at least for me as a leader, it brings peace. I'm like, okay, God cast a vision. God knows what he's doing. He's got a vision. He's got a purpose. How do I incorporate that into my life today? And so it's kind of some recap again. So we're launching out to launch in. That's our title. Luke 5:4, launch out into the deep. So this word launch out, this idea of launch, it also means to put out. Or if you see right there, right? The Greek is epinago. I don't know how to pronounce it. There's an accent over the O. So how do you say that? Epinago? Epinago? Like go, get out, put out, thrust. So it's this word, the idea that you're being launched out. Sometimes maybe you don't want to be launched out, but God has launched us out. This is a year where we have been pushed out. We have been thrust out of our church building, right? We didn't get to choose that. It's not what we wanted, but God has made circumstances happen where we are not in our church building. We've been thrust out. So again, you're seeing some of this vision statement coming true into our life. And I was thinking about, as I was preparing my message this week, I was thinking about birds that are in a nest, right? That you have these little babies that are hatched, and these chicks. What happens? They grow up in a nest with all their brothers and sisters, and they're chirping, and their mom feeds them, and they just get to stay warm in this cozy, warm nest inside the physical confines of a nice nest with all their brothers and sisters chirping, singing along together. But there comes a day where the mama is going to get that young bird and launch, thrust, put out that baby out of her nest. What a mean and horrible thing to do, right? No, it's actually because the mom knows what's best. That baby would not survive if it just stayed in the nest all of its life. It would not be a healthy baby. It would not be what a bird is supposed to be. And I want you to think about that. God, as a good God, has thrust us out of our church building, outside of our nest, because he knows that we will never be what we are supposed to be unless we get out of the nest. Amen. And this is a part of, I hope you're seeing this whole thing. I'm getting excited because I had no idea when I gave this vision about launching out. I didn't understand all of it. But I hope you're getting the connection here, that God on purpose has thrust us. It's not the coronavirus. It's not riots. It's not quarantines and curfews and the government. It's not your mean pastor. It's not all these things. It's God. He knew. He had a vision for us.
Yeah.
And he's saying, this is a season where I want you to get out of the nest.
Yeah.
That you won't be who you're supposed to be if you stay inside the nest.
Yeah.
And so there's these things that God is wanting us to get out. To get out. And so that's important that we understand that. And I guess I say that because there's part of me, if I'm honest with you, my pastor's heart, there's part of me that I want to apologize. I want to say, I'm sorry we're not back in the church building today again. But I guess there's a big part of me that's not sorry because I know this is what God is saying. There's a confidence in who God is and what he's saying, not in my leadership, but in his leadership. And so there's these verses, Psalm 27:14. My kids should know this. Because we had family devotions, was it yesterday or the day before? This is our verse for the day. Psalm 27:14, it says this, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And I think we've all heard these verses before about waiting patiently, right? None of us like to wait. If you got my email, I sent an email late yesterday. I meant to send it out on Friday. Sorry about that. If you want to get emails, go ahead and sign up. There's links on our website, but I will just kind of continue to give you information of what's on my heart, where we're headed as a church. It's a little plug in there to sign up for our emails. But the idea in that email, I was talking about how no one enjoys waiting, right? No one enjoys waiting in long lines, being in traffic. That's never an enjoyable thing. But as we read scripture, we see there's some important things that God says about waiting, that we are to wait patiently, that sometimes going through trials and difficulties, it produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, right? There's this process that God is saying, you are not meant to stay a young baby bird in a nest all your life. I've got to thrust you out so you learn to open your wings and flap and work, and maybe there's a little fear in there, but it's actually gaining strength. You're learning something in the process. And so there's things that, and I guess for me, I love this verse, Psalm 27:14, because in the middle of waiting patiently, yes, waiting patiently for the Lord, there's this verse, be strong and courageous. So in your patiently waiting, God is saying, don't give up. Don't grow weary. Find your strength. Find your courage. We just sang that song, right? That strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. There's something about when we wait on the Lord, not just waiting in a long line, waiting in traffic, but actually waiting on the Lord. There's something that it should give us strength if we do it right. And there were some points that yesterday's in our family devotional, Dr. Tony Evans brought up a couple points that I want to read to you guys this morning. He said this, to wait on the Lord is to intertwine or weave your heart with God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
When you wait on the Lord, the purpose is not to freak out, not to get mad, not to get angry, not to get frustrated. The purpose that God has for you in waiting patiently is to get your heart intertwined with his heart. There's things that are in his heart that are not in our heart right now. There's things about that baby chick, using that analogy again, there's things that young bird doesn't have the same heart as its mother or its father. And the mother and father, as a wise parent, saying, I've got to thrust you out. And in that, you've got to learn my heart, that I'm not just here to provide and give you everything and spoon feed you everything in life. There's a process where I want you to mature. There's a day where I'm not going to be your parent and you're going to have to learn how to be a parent, right? There's this whole idea that there's a maturity process needs to take place. And so Dr. Tony Evans was saying this. It's this waiting on the Lord. It's a season. It's a time. It's an opportunity for you and I to get our hearts intertwined or braided or wrapped around God's heart. Next thing he said is it's this time of season of waiting. It means that we're not supposed to go outside of him to address your problems.
Yeah.
While you wait on the Lord, you are not to go outside of him to find the answers to your problems. So often, a pastor that says that, oh, the government says we can meet and we can have 100 people in our sanctuary, and that's about what we normally have on a Sunday morning. We should open up the doors. We should do this and get all these things ready. And I did, and I still have everything ready to go as soon as the Lord says yes. But I can't go outside of him to find the answer or solutions. Amen. God is saying, no, get your heart wrapped around mine. Look to me. I have the answers. And so that's important. One more thing that Dr. Tony Evans says is, it doesn't mean inactivity. When we wait on the Lord, it doesn't mean inactivity. It means only approved activity by him to find stability in the midst of your circumstances. If you want stability, if you want not to be tossed to and fro, if you want stability, he's saying it's waiting patiently for the Lord is not inactivity, not just sitting here doing nothing. It's actually activity, right? Let me say it again. It doesn't mean inactivity. It means only approved activity. Yeah. Only approved activity. That's so important. That's so important. I know there's things going on. This last week, I'm at church. I'm on our campus. I'm in my office. I'm going into Bert's office. I'm on the property doing things. But even myself, I'm saying, no, I'm not going to go in the sanctuary. I'm not going to go into the places where we worship the Lord. And I've asked some of you that, man, you normally go there and you meet and you do different things. And I'm asking you, don't do anything that's not approved activity. In this waiting, it's not inactivity. It doesn't mean we do nothing. But it means there's approved activity. Let's figure that out. And so these are just reassurances. I heard Dr. Tony Evans say this. And the last thing he said is, waiting patiently means to wrap our lives around him so we're anchored and not tossed to and fro by the blowing circumstances of the wind, which is kind of what we talked about already. But I want us to learn how to wait. And in this idea of launching, in this idea of being put out of the church building, there's some waiting that's going on. There's some things where it's not always enjoyable. My kids, and they're asking, when can I see my friends again? When can I invite friends over to my house? When can I do this? And they're saying, well, it's only approved activity. It doesn't mean you sit on a couch and do nothing all day long. You go jump on a trampoline. You can go read a book. There's a lot of things you can do, but it's approved activity. And I think there's things that God is saying for us as a church. There's activity, but we've got to find out what's approved activity. And that's important. So approved activity, this idea of launching out, epinago, you've been put out. That's part of this vision that God is already fulfilling right now. Us not being in the church building, we've been launched or put or thrust out of the church building. But what's the next part of that phrase? Launch out into the deep. So you're supposed to launch out into. I love that those words are back to back because it almost seems like an oxymoron. You're supposed to launch out in. Launch out in. Wait, what? Yeah, get out to get in. It kind of sounds, oh man, this is probably dating me and probably not good that I know this song, but an old R&B song, you got to get up to get down. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyways, my kids have no idea what that song is. When I was in high school, you got to get up to get down. But that idea is you got to get out to get in. You have to get out to get in. The Lord is saying during this season of our life, he's thrusting us out of the church building, out of the church walls to get in. Into what? Into the deep. What is he saying into the deep? So there's my next slide. Deep in Greek, that word is bathos. Ezra, sometimes I tell you to go take a bath. But this is Greek bathos. That's getting into the deep or the depth or extreme mystery, things hidden. I can't help but think of the verse that says that deep cries out unto deep, right? Those things that are hidden, those things that are mysterious, those things that maybe I'm not even conscious of, but deep in my spirit, there are things that I long for, right? Even the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings that we don't understand. There's this idea, there's this, the deep parts of God, the mysteries of God that are crying out to us. And he's saying, I want you to go deep into the things I have for you. And you can't do it inside the nest. You can't do it inside the confines of a church building. He's saying this season, you've got to get out so you can get into the deep. So it's important that we understand these things. There's a Bible verse, Proverbs 25:2. It says this, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Again, this seems like an oxymoron. Wait, I got to get out to get in. Wait, God likes to conceal, but kings like to reveal. Wait, what are you talking about? This doesn't make sense. I love this verse. God is explaining to us, there's something about God that he enjoys. It's his glory to conceal a matter, to make something hidden, to make something mysterious. Why? Because he's a mean dad and doesn't want us to have the promises he has for us? No. He's saying, because I want you to learn how to dig. I want you to learn how to press in. I want you to learn how to find. I want you to seek and find, right? That verse, right? Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Search, right? There's this idea that God is saying, I want you to discover things. He's not a God who just wants to spoon feed everything to us in our whole life. He said, I want you to get hungry and I want you now to start having an adventure. Go search for things. I think I've talked about this before where it's kind of, I get the mental picture of on Easter, right? On Easter morning, what do mom and dad do? We hide eggs all in the backyard or front yard or inside the house. We hide eggs and it's our glory. It's mom and dad's, we have fun hiding things because it's got money in it. It's got candy. It's got toys. There's things that are for you that we want to bless you with, but it's fun for us to hide them because it's fun to see you guys run around and laugh and giggle and say, oh, I found it, and open up a gift. There's something about that, that God enjoys concealing things that are meant to be found. He's not being mean, saying, I'm going to hide these so they can never find them. No, God on purpose keeps things mysterious so that we can go search them out. Because it's there's something about the joy of going into the deep. It can be mysterious. It can be scary. It can be things that we're uncomfortable doing. But if we do it, God is saying, oh no, it's worth it. The rewards, they're well worth it. Mm-hmm. And so God is saying he wants us in this season. We've been thrust out whether we wanted to or not. But now we have a choice to launch in. We didn't really have a choice to be launched out. But now we have a choice to launch into the deep. And so God is saying this is the season for that. To launch out into the deep. All right. I think there's things that if you kind of take that analogy, we talked about this at the beginning of the year, going out into the deep waters. Those shallow waters, that's where it's comfortable, right? That when I take my kids when they're young, I don't want them going out in the deep water. Stay in the shallow water where there's no waves and you can just splash and kick your feet and you're having fun. But as you get older, man, those waves, it's actually more enjoyable to go on those big waves, to catch a wave. Oh, that's what's fun. My kids went to the beach, on Friday? You guys went to the beach without me? Yeah. They got sunburns and they went boogie boarding. But that's what's fun, is not to stay in ankle deep water. My kids, now that they're teenagers and starting to get older, they want to go out into the deep. They want to go have fun where it's deeper waters. And God is saying this is a season where we're not supposed to stay in the shallow waters. There's deeper things, right? And if you guys remember, even all those things we talked about at the beginning of the year, we watched that video clip from Moana, that sometimes those deep waves, those big waves, they can crash over you and knock you off. And there's some mysteriousness. There could be some fear too in that. But God is saying, man, there's things better for you. There's things that he's calling us to that we've got to press in. Let's see, I'll say this now. I think this was later in my notes. But if you think about the deep things, Yeah, I know for sure this is later on, but I'll say it now. My kids right now, you guys are in school. You guys, I got three middle schoolers now. Oh no, one high schooler and two middle schoolers. Good golly. My kids are growing up. But as they go to school, as you guys go to middle school, high school, you go to college, there's general ed. You don't really get to choose a lot of your classes. You have to take math. You have to take history. You have to take science. At a Christian school, you have to take Bible. There's all these core subjects that you don't have a choice in the matter. They want us to have, I want my kids to have a base knowledge about lots of things. But as you get older, you actually find that to become an expert, you can't learn everything there is to know. You've got to pick a field. You've got to pick something that you want to explore, that's something that interests you, and you dive deep into that subject. An expert isn't somebody who knows everything about everything. That person doesn't exist. An expert is a doctor who's an expert, even a doctor. They specialize in certain kind of medicine. Oh, I'm going to do cancer. Well, what kind of cancer? Thyroid cancer, whatever. And they become experts in one specific subject. And I feel like that's what God is saying. When you're in the nest, when you're in the church, man, you're getting spoon-fed all kinds of good information. But God is saying, during this season, I want you to launch into depth, into the depth of things. Are you just kind of floating around the surface? Or is there something about God that he's saying to you that you're saying, man, I've got to explore this. This subject, this isn't something that pastor's talking about. This isn't something that everybody else is talking about. This is something God is saying to me, and I've got to go explore the depths of what God is saying to me in this area. Is this making sense? God is saying that he's gotten us out of the church building because he wants us to go deep into things. In fact, I think I'm just going to go there. It was later on in my notes. I'm going to skip. Let's see if I can do that. What's my next slide? Yeah. All right, perfect. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about himself, that he's their spiritual father. He's the one that birthed the church there, planted the church. But I hope you hear the context of this. You can have 10,000 other people instructing you, giving you information. You can listen to, like I said 1,000 times, you can listen to tons of other podcasts. You can listen to the Stephen Furtick, the Joyce Meyers, the Bill Johnsons, the John Pipers, the whoever you like, right? You can listen to tons of different people that are going to teach you things about God. And that's good. I'm not saying stop doing that. But Paul here is saying, you can have thousands, tens of thousands of people giving you information, but you can only have one father. What's the difference between a father and a teacher? A teacher is supposed to give you information. A father owns you. A father is responsible for you. A father cares about the longevity of what this is going to do in your life. I think about my kids. I send them to school to go get taught math and English. Great. They're better at math than I am. Go learn math from a teacher who knows more than I do. Great. But they only have one dad. It's my job not to teach them everything there is to know in life. My job is to love on them. My job is to make sure their roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. That I see things, oh man, I'm even going off a tangent right now, just thinking, even as Benjamin's getting older, I gave him one of my own books. I said, Benjamin, God's been giving you dreams, and there's things that I see that God is, he's calling you to be a spiritual warrior. I get it, we're all meant to do spiritual warfare. But there's something unique about the calling on Benjamin's life, where he is meant to do battle, to be an intercessor. And so I even gave him a book that I had that it's all underlined and highlighted. And I said, all right, I want you to read this book. Not with me. I want it to be yours. I want you to own it. And he's been doing good. In the last couple of weeks, he's been daily reading a chapter on his own and trying to put it into practice. Why am I saying all that? Because it's different than just a teacher. I'm not just saying, I want you to learn everything there is to know, Benjamin. I see something specific in your life, and I want to feed that, and I want you to get deep. I want you to have your roots deep in this one area. This is who you are. This is your calling. This is who your identity is. Now let's get your roots deep in this area. So God is saying during this season, during this quarantine, he's not wanting us all to gather just to have fellowship, which these are all good things. He's saying, no, I want you to get deep. I want my fellowship with you to get deep. Fellowship with other believers, that's good. But what's even more important? Fellowship with God.
Amen.
He wants us to get deep in our fellowship with him. So there's these things, and I want to share with you, if you were on Sandy's Sunday School class, you heard all kinds of things about dreams. God's been giving me tons of dreams lately, and I want to highlight one of them to you. In one of the dreams I had last week, I was doing dips. You guys know what dips are? I'm sure Benjamin and Josh know what dips are, right? Like, it's an exercise where you, like there's two poles, and you put your hand on the poles, and then you're up high like this, and then you dip, you bend your arms, and then you have to push yourself back up. And so it takes some strength to hold your body weight as you go down low. But really the resistance and the hard part is to push all your body weight back up. Mm-hmm. And so in my dream, I was doing dips. And I was actually in a playground at a school. And I was all by myself on the playground doing these dips. And as I was doing dips, I just kept doing more and more, just the kind of repetition. And I realized, oh man, I'm not getting tired. This is kind of cool. Like, I'm working out, but it's not even hurting anything. This is great. And so I was doing these dips. And then as I was doing dips, I was observing that as I was in the playground, there were students going in and out of classrooms all around me, like almost 360 degree. There was just, everybody was going in and out of buildings, in and out of classrooms, being taught. But I was in the playground, all by myself, outside the buildings, doing these dips. Are you getting some of the analogy already? Are you seeing some correlation to the dream? While I'm having the dream, I have no idea. When I wake up and I record the dream all groggy, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, I just talk into my phone and try to record it. And I'm like, I have no idea what this dream means. Then I go back to sleep. But hopefully you're seeing it right now. So I'm doing these dips. And as I'm doing these dips, doing a whole bunch of them, I realized, oh, I can go down lower. Like somehow my arms became like stretchy, or like, I don't know, like rubber. And I would go lower and lower. And I was like, oh man. And it actually took more work in my dream. It required more strength, more effort to go low. And as I was going lower and lower, I was like, oh, I can go a little bit further. And then I was like, okay, that's the farthest I can go down. Then you know, I'd come back up. I shot up. It was like a rubber band, right? It takes work to stretch the rubber band down. And then when you let go, phew, I just like took off. And so I didn't just go back to the starting position. I actually went even higher. As I went lower, I got shot even higher. As I, like 10 feet, as I got lowered like 10 feet below my starting point, I would shoot like 20 feet higher above. And I was having so much fun. I was laughing like on a playground as a kid. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I just would go down. And every time I'd go lower, my starting point would go higher so that I could go lower, right? Because the ground, you can only go as low as the ground. So when I'd go all the way down and touch the ground, then I would shoot up. And then my starting point would be higher so I could go even lower. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. I can keep going lower and lower and lower. And then I would shoot even higher and higher up. So in my dream, I was having fun in the playground being a kid. That doesn't sound like really a God dream. That's just Ryan. That's your pastor. I'm always a big kid. But I hope you're seeing some prophetic declarations being made in that dream. To me, it's scriptural, right? What did Jesus say? His disciples came to him. They said, we want to be the greatest. No, I'm the greatest in your kingdom. No, I'm the greatest. And Jesus said, hold on, hold on. Let me teach you how to be the greatest. If you really want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to become the servant of all. If you want to be first, you've got to be last. It's all these things that if you want to get high, you've got to go low. If you want to be exalted, you've got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Do you get that? I was having to humble myself. It was work. It was effort to go down low. And as I got lower, he exalted me. And it was just enjoyable just to have him thrust me all the way up. I was like, oh, this is so much fun. But did you catch where I was at? The scene. Everyone else was going in and out of buildings. I was outside by myself. And it wasn't, I didn't view myself as being outside, being left out. Oh, everybody else gets to go into buildings, not me. I was on a playground laughing, having fun. And that's my prophetic prayer over myself, over us as a church, is that we don't just get to a place where like, ah, other churches, they get to go back in their buildings. Ah, look at them over there. They get to do this. No, that we get to a place where we've been launched out and now we're launching deep. And we're saying, you know what? I don't care if I ever go back in a building. I'm having so much fun out here on my own doing dips. I'm just going lower. I'm going lower and lower. And God is just taking me to new heights. And that's my prayer, is that you and I, we would learn how to dig deep. Yeah. That we would go deep. This is the word. This is the vision. That's why I bring it before you again. God has thrust us out of the nest so we can go deep. So we can go deeper into what God has called for us. Yeah. And I think, for me, it's kind of that opposite, right? As we wait upon the Lord, it's easy to grow weary. It's easy to grow faint. It's easy for say, man, I'm sick of this. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I bet it's probably close to 100% of everyone watching right now. Someone has said, I am done with this quarantine. I'm ready to go back to normal business. I'm ready to see all my family, my friends, go back to church. I want to be done, right? We're all tired of this. We don't like it. But what I sense is God is teaching us something. It's like going back to that analogy of that bird. I want to read to another verse I think many of us are aware of. It might be hard to read on my screen. It's really small, I know. But I think many of you know this already. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not become weary. I love the visualization that we'll gain new strength. Not just strength we already had, but new strength. Not just that we can walk out our faith, right? That's scriptural. We're supposed to walk out. We're supposed to work out our salvation. So I get it. This relation with God, we're supposed to be walking. But God is saying, no, while you were in the church building, while you were in the nest, maybe there was some walking. Maybe you were walking. You had a relation with God. Great. Maybe there was some depth with God. Can I say this? No matter how deep you are in relation with God, there's always greater depths.
Amen.
Every time I went lower and I came back up, I had the ability to go lower still, to go deeper still.
Yeah.
So no matter who you are, no matter where you're at with God, this is a word for you. It's time to go deeper. Maybe you're walking and not growing faint. Great. Now it's time to pick up the pace and run and not grow weary. Maybe you know how to walk and run. Man, Paul says, man, I'm going to run the race. There's a prize set before me. I'm going to run with everything I have. I'm going to sprint. Paul was taught, he gave that verse when he was at the end of his life. He knew he was in prison and he knew he was about to die. He said, man, I see the finish line and I'm just going to sprint all the way to the finish line. I'm not going to grow weary. But I'm thinking in this season, God is saying, all right, maybe you know how to walk. Maybe there's parts where you know how to run. But now it's time to soar. It's time to mount up with wings like eagles. It's time to see the problems and to see your physical limitations, your fleshly frustrations. And it's time to get out of those and actually get a healthy perspective. As you go low, as you dig deep into the presence of God, he's going to shoot you up like an eagle. And you're going to be able to soar above the situation, above your difficulties, above your problems, to remove you and isolate you so you never have to see them again. No. So that you have elevation, so that you have perspective to see your situation. Not in the middle of all the muck and mire, but above, and you can see how God sees it. And that's where you get your answers. That's where you get your solutions, is when you are like an eagle in those heights, you get the answers. And then you can go back down into those situations, not frustrated, not weary, but with the strength and the wisdom and the vision of having soared like an eagle. Does that make sense? We've heard these verses before, but I want us to go deeper. I want to leave you with one more thought. Maybe one more thought. Maybe two. But at least one more thought. I think I've shared this before, but about 10 years ago, we had one of our missionaries, Tom and Rebecca Mende from Kenya. They came and they were at Osborne on a Wednesday night. And Tom Ibende gave this challenging word that I'm telling you, it pierced my heart.
Yeah.
And it's never stopped piercing my heart ever since he gave it. Like I said, it was 10 years ago. But he said this. He said, you guys in America, you guys in the Western world, he's like, you get a sermon every Sunday. Sometimes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and on Wednesdays. You gather three times a week. You listen to podcasts throughout the week. You have devotionals at home. You are so stuffed and inundated with information.
Yeah.
You get all this great stuff that's from God, but it's just all over your life. He's like, but where's the depth? You're at surface level. You just keep throwing more information onto this wide surface level. You have this great vast width of all this information. But what is it doing in your life? Do you have any roots in any of it? And he said, you know what? When I'm in Kenya, he's like, I walk out to these remote villages, these mud huts. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a congregation to go to. I go to their house. I give them one Bible verse. I print it out. I write it out. And I say, okay, here's your Bible verse. I want you to read it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to talk about it all day long. I want this to be your Bible verse as a family. And you know what? He leaves. Sometimes for months. This family has nothing but one Bible verse. And he says, and when I come back months later, do you know what? They have grown. They've taken that one verse and they've applied it to every area of their life. I come back and I see these roots. They are so hungry for another verse. They say, oh, that one verse just became their life for months.
Yeah.
And he goes, their depth is incredible. He goes, yes, they don't know as much as you guys do in America. Yeah, you guys know a lot more than they do. But their depth is incredible. He's like, he was just saying this out of shock and really just hurt. He's like, you have all this information and you have no depth. And for me, that pierced my heart so bad because that is me. That was speaking to me probably more than anybody else I'm talking to today. I went to Bible college. I was raised in the church. I know a lot of information, but what does God's word say? Knowledge puffs up, right? And then God says that he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, those who go low. And so I'm saying all this because I want you in this season. What is God saying to you? I guess I have more notes and some more things to say, but I'll wrap it up. What is the Lord saying to you?
Yeah.
I say this probably every Sunday. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's an area of your life? Okay. What's something God has said to you this morning? Let's make it more specific. What's something you can grab a hold of and say, I'm going to run with this. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get it deep. I'm not going to allow another Sunday just to happen where information is given to me. And an hour later, I kind of remember what the pastor said. And I'm saying that to myself too. I don't even remember what I preach sometimes. But God is saying in this season, he's given us a vision. He's taken us out of the nest. He's saying, all right, you've been thrust out. Now dive deep, launch deep. It's up to you to go in or not. Okay, so I feel like I have to give at least a couple of practicals. These are just things coming to my mind right now. What's our mission statement as a church? I always tell you it's about, right, worship, word, ministry. What's something in one of those areas? Maybe not all three. What's something in one of those areas that you can dive deeper on your own?
Yeah.
Worship. Okay, I do have time. All right, so I'll say this quickly. I hope this is not a bragging thing. I'm just trying to give an example. I can remember being my kid's age, right about 13, right about Benjamin and Joshua's age. I can remember that's where my relationship with God became my own. I mean, I became a Christian when I was 5 years old. I can go through the whole, I can give you my whole testimony. But about junior high is where I realized this is mine. And I started doing things. Can I say this? That I didn't even see my parents model. And I don't mean this bad. I'm not saying my parents are bad. I'm just saying I didn't copy somebody. It was something in my own relationship with God. It was something he spoke to me and I started pursuing something on my own. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's what I want for all of us. Is that you're not just copying your pastor. You're not just copying what somebody else does. Get deep in your relationship with God and find out what he's doing. And so I'm just giving you an example. What I did when I was in junior high is I had a CD Walkman, right? With the headphones. And before I'd go to bed, because at that age, I would go to bed and I would just lay in my bed and I'd be awake for like an hour before I fell asleep. So I was like, you know what? Instead of just laying here and trying to fall asleep, let me listen to some worship music. And so I just put worship music on. Getting emotional again, just thinking about it. That was a season like David out in the pastures, just singing to the Lord all by himself. Again, isolated, not with his family. He was an outcast, thrust out of the family. Do you get that, David? He wasn't brought in when all the other sons. When Samuel said, Jesse, one of your sons is supposed to be the next king. Bring me all your sons. And Jesse brought all of his sons except for David. Because David was out in the fields all by himself. He was probably a stepson. All by himself. And in this season, I'm just telling you, as a junior higher, that is where I learned how to worship the Lord. I would just lay in my bed with tears just streaming down my face. The presence of God was so real, all by myself, all not in a church building, not with my family, on my own. Yeah. I began to have my own relationship with God in worship. Yeah. I was hearing songs being sung, but they were actually coming from my heart. That's my desire. As you hear songs that are pre-recorded or worship, man, you can listen to worship, you can listen to all day long, but it's so different when you own a worship song and it becomes yours. It becomes your cry, it becomes your prayer. In worship, can you go deeper on your own? Not in a church corporate setting. The Word, can you not just be spoon-fed on a Sunday morning or by all the other podcasts you can listen to? Can you find out how to get in God's Word and dig something out for yourself? Can you find ministry? Can you learn how to pray for somebody else, to intercede? Intercessions. I was just talking to Jen last night, man. There's been one time, it was just a few months ago, I poured my heart out for somebody. I popped blood vessels in my face. I came home. My kids were all, "Dad, what's wrong with you?" My whole face. I popped blood vessels. I was just pouring my heart out for somebody. I want you to learn. I'm not saying this again. I hope it's coming across that right way. I'm giving you examples, not to pat myself on the back, but I want to give you examples where you're on your own figuring out how to go deep. Yeah. That we're not just flitting around the surface. We're not meant to be butterflies. We're meant to be those eagles, right? Soaring, but again, swooping down low, catching something, right? That's what an eagle does. It gets a high perspective and it sees something down below and it swoops down and grabs a hold of that. It goes down deep to grab a hold of something. Yeah. I want us this season to learn how to do that. So again, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I was trying to wrap it up. What are you? Let's ask the Lord. Will you just close your eyes and let's ask, even you, my kids here tonight, this morning. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? I've been talking a lot just for 45 minutes, but Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? I want to go deeper, God. I want my relationship with you to be real. Yes. More real than it's ever been before, God. Yeah. God, I want my own. I don't want somebody else's passion. I don't want to burn with somebody else's fire. I want my own flame. I want my own maturity. I want my own depth. Mm-hmm. God, I trust you that as a good father, you've taken me out of my comfort zone. You've taken me out of the physical sanctuary building so that I can go in to the Holy of Holies, a spiritual sanctuary where it's just you and me, one man, one God. Amen. God, take me past the outer courts. With the priests who sing your praise, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. The song that we sing. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, Jesus.
Past the brazen altar. Take me past all these things. God, I want to go deeper into your presence.
Yes.
I want to go deep into your sanctuary. Teach me. Show me. May you be my teacher. May you be my guide. Mm-hmm. And God, may I please you. That's my heart's cry. I just want to please you. I want to be a good son. I want to be a good daughter. I want to please you.
Yes.
I want you to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you this much and you ran with it and you invested it and you went deep with what I gave you. And now there's fruit abounding with the little I gave you. There's excess of it. God, may that be true in my life. So God, I thank you that you pursue me. God, that it's not just me trying on my own. That again, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings. We've been called a kingdom of priests to search out a matter. May there just be glory rising up to you, God, as we search out things, as we discover, as we find what you've hidden for us to find. May we walk the vision you've given us to not only be launched out, but to launch deep into the things that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Well, God bless you guys. I love you. So my kids coming up here, and let's just wave goodbye to everybody. Thank you again for coming to our home today. Pray that you were blessed in your home today. We love you guys. Happy Sunday. See you next week. See you on Wednesday. God bless you.
See you Wednesday. Bye.